So we want to look in Mark chapter 10, and we want to read really a pretty familiar passage. This is dealing with the what the Bible calls the rich young ruler, or what commentaries call this the rich young ruler. And it's dealing with a young man asking Jesus, inquiring of Jesus, just what he needs to do. And we've titled the message this morning, The Tragedy of Slavery. The Tragedy of Slavery. And so we want to read this passage, and I hope that it kind of puts maybe things in perspective. I hope it helps us this morning. I hope it allows us to meditate on what's going on, and even meditate in our own life. So let's read with verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. The Bible says, "And when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So that's the question. What can I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth up. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now there's a lot of things that's happening in this passage, but the one that I kind of want to think about as we pray is the fact that the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. And I'll say this morning that no matter what you're dealing with or whatever you're going through or whatever challenges that you face or that face you, Jesus loves you. And for that, we're grateful. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship together. We do pray for those that aren't able to be here due to hindrances in their own life, those that are sick and that's dealing with sickness. Lord, we know that these bodies, they sometimes break down on us. So, Father, I pray that you'll heal them and help them and strengthen them. Father, for those that are struggling in various ways, we pray that you'll touch them. And, Lord, for those that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know Jesus. How you love us so much, and you want what's best for us. So, Father, I pray that you help me this morning, and may you get glory to all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The tragedy of slavery. We've heard a lot over the last several months about recent tragedies. We know that there was tragedy with flooding. Many individuals lost everything. They lost their lives. They lost family members. They lost their possessions. They lost, in a lot of ways, life as they knew it. We've heard about the fires in amongst all the controversy that has been shown through the fires, you still have to understand that people lost a lot. We've seen on the news that drivers have driven through crowds of people. Tragedy. We've heard of shootings. And all these things have made the national news. The news reports. Getting the reports out of these tragedies. But you know, there's also other tragedies that's taking place. And there are tragedies that take place every single day that never gets talked about, that never gets considered, that never gets reported. And many of these tragedies are what one would consider slow destruction. You see, these tragedies, the ones that stand out with the floods and the fires, those really weren't slow destructions, but those happen quickly. But there are tragedies that's taking place that is known as slow destructions, and I would like to call it the silent killer. The silent killer. These killers are things that people think that they can't live without. The things that drives individuals, the things that motivate individuals, the things that they just have to have, things that ultimately take your time, things that literally take your life, things that at the end of one's life and they look back, they never brought that real joy. They never brought that real happiness. They never brought the real peace. And they never brought that real comfort. In reality, what one thought was most important was actually more of a burden than a blessing. We can do many things in this life. We have a lot of information to us. We can, I don't even know that people really even have dictionaries in their homes anymore. And if they do, it's probably got so much dust because Siri seems to know more than anybody else. And what is that? Wikipedia. But we have a lot of information that we can get our hands on quickly. We have a lot of technology that there's been so many changes in technology. And there's really a lot of understanding that could be given. But there's one thing that we don't have a lot of. And there's one thing that we can't ever get, and that is more time. We can get information. We can get knowledge. We can get things, but we can't get time. Because every moment and every second and every hour and every day and every week and every year just keeps going by. It just keeps going by. This passage this morning is a tragedy. And for this young man, he may not have even realized what a tragedy it was until later on in life. He may not have realized what a tragedy and what he thought was so important really became a slave to him. And so what he thought was important And what was motivating him and what was driving him and what was making him what he was really became a tragedy. This man was young. This man was rich. This man was a ruler. And to many, as we look out, as the world is today, to many, they would say, well, that's the answer to peace. That's the answer to happiness. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we work for. That's what motivates so many individuals is to have those things. But those things could be taken away in just a moment. But yet he was still working for those. He had all these things that one would think with the wrong mindset that one would think he's got everything that he needs. He's got everything that he needs. I think he was a person that I don't think things were, you know, there's people in life that everything's just kind of handed to them in a sense. And then there's people in life that works very, very hard, and they have great possessions because of their hard work. And I would picture this young man as being a hard worker. And the reason that I think personally, and you may differ and that's okay, but the reason that I think that he was a hard worker is because he went running to Jesus. He went running. He didn't just come walking. He didn't say, Jesus, I need you to come over here just a minute. You know, he didn't take his authority and he didn't take his position in life as one that you owe me something. But I personally believe that this man was a hard worker. And he was very, very diligent in the things that he thought was important. He was very diligent and he was a hard worker in life, or at least that's my perspective. And so he came running to Jesus. Now, he did think that he had everything, but in reality, what did he really have? If you really considered reality, and those, and I don't ever watch them, some of you might, but those that are reality, those reality shows really aren't very truthful. It's make believe. And I don't want to cause any argument for those who love to watch wrestling. So we can have difference of opinion. But when I was a little boy, I told my dad that I wanted to go to a wrestling match. And so he agreed to let me go, and that was back in the day, and I'm kind of dating myself because I don't know who's out there now, but that was when Wahoo McDaniel was out there. And y'all know who I'm talking about. And he had his old Indian headdress on. And then there was, you know, there was other ones, but that was who I remembered that was here at the Greensboro Coliseum. And man, I was getting into it, you know, and they had these... You know, I'm not going to be graphic, but you kind of know what I'm saying. They were just into this stuff. And I thought, wow, this is really something. And then so, you know, I thought it was real. But in reality, if you're trying to hurt somebody in that way and you hurt them, then you ain't going to stand there to let them hurt you very long. And then all of a sudden after the match, they get up and they just walk off like it was nothing. So they were trying to, you know, they were, and this is where you might get angry with me, but they're living a life of make-believe. Now, if you believe it's all real, then that's okay. But in reality, they're living that life of make-believe. And so many times, people live a life of make-believe. They think what is driving them and what is important to them and what that they can't live without in reality, as we see with these two destructions, really isn't everything. He thought he had everything, but in reality, what did he really have? This morning, I want us to visit this individual, and I want us to think on this thought, the tragedy of slavery. And I'd like to visit this young man, and the emphasis here is on his riches or on what he possesses or what he has. But I challenge us to look at our own lives and see if there's anything that is taking our joy, and is anything taking our happiness that we feel is the most important. And before we give our points this morning, I want us to look at verse 22. So he says that he's done all these things from his youth up, and he's followed all the commandments, and he's has all these possessions. And Jesus tells him, sell what you have. Jesus tells him to give to the poor. And he tells him, you're going to get treasures in heaven. Tells him to take up the cross and to follow him. And notice what verse 22 says. And he was sad and saying, or sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now here's the thought this morning. He went away sad, and he went away grieved. So did those great possessions bring him happiness? Because he left Jesus and went back. Now, he didn't like what Christ said. We understand that. But in my mind, if those things really brought him the happiness that he thought, why would he be looking for something else? And two, he was going back into that world, so why would he be grieved? And why would he be sad? So in reality, everything that he thought would bring him happiness didn't bring him happiness. Number one, there was a dilemma. And I'd like to call it the slave's dilemma. The slave's dilemma. Notice that he came running to Jesus. And I've already mentioned that. He came running to Jesus. So he was running to Jesus. He was thinking, I've got to do more. He was motivated. He was seeking. He was doing all those things. So he saw that there was a need. He saw that there was an urgency. And he knew that Jesus could do something for him. He must have heard about Jesus later on. He must have, or, you know, in the past, he must have heard different things. So he knew who he needed to go to. And so he saw Jesus. So the thought here is, his dilemma is, seeing is not enough to change a life. Seeing is not enough to change a life. Just like hearing is not listening. You know, we hear a lot of noises every day. And how many times has someone said something to you and you say, and you heard them and you knew they were talking, but how many times did you ever say in life, now what was that you said? So hearing is not listening. Listening is when you're zeroing in on what you're hearing. So just because we hear something and just because he heard something didn't mean that he was listening. Just because he heard about Jesus didn't mean that he was listening to what Jesus, because Jesus got pretty detailed in what he needed to do. Jesus ultimately told him, this is what's going to bring you joy in verse 21. This is what you're looking for. This is what's going to bring you peace. This is what's going to bring you comfort. This is where you're focusing on me and nothing else. And that's ultimately what verse 21 is saying. So he thought salvation was something that he could do. And there's a lot of beliefs out there that think the same thing. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we see the slaves or the slaves' dilemma, but now we need to see the slaves' discovery. And the discovery was found in verses 17 and going through verses 21. But there's something that he never did in this, and of course we know that he went away and didn't follow what Jesus said, but he never answered Jesus, why callest thou me good? He never answered that question. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because I don't know that he really truly understood who Jesus was, and therefore he wasn't able to answer that question. Has someone ever asked you a question and maybe they put two questions in there together, and if you didn't know the answer to the one, then you avoided answering? And then we used to have a teacher. He's passed away now. And we used to have a teacher, and it was a current events history. And some of us guys, and I don't know, maybe the girls did it too, but in some of my groups, that I would go into this class, and I don't want to mention his name, but I know him just like it was yesterday, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but this current event teacher. And so he would start asking us questions, and we would all take turns every single day, and this is a true story. We would all take turns, and we would find something that we knew something about, and we would ask him about that, and he would, it was called current events, and he would actually talk about those, and we would keep asking questions to get him zeroed in on something that we knew about instead of what he was trying to teach us. And so we were distracting him. And so how can he give us a test if he hasn't talked about it in class? So it was a strategy point that we would do, is our goal was to get him distracted. True story. He wasn't able to ask. I did pass, by the way, if anybody's interested. Barely. He wasn't able to ask or answer Jesus' question, so he avoided it. And he went on to something else. Because Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good. That is God. So in other words, I don't know that he truly understood who Jesus was. And then Jesus goes on to say, and he follows the commandments as it's mentioned. And the only thing that he could say was, Master, I've observed these things. I've done these things. I've done them. So the discovery was, in talking to Jesus, and in reality, he was confronted with reality. He was confronting, and that's what Jesus does. When we got saved, he confronted us with reality. The reality was that we were lost. The reality was that we needed Christ as our Savior. The reality was that we needed to change our life. So he was confronted with reality. The reality that is seen in this picture is far more real than any reality that this man could ever face. The reality that Jesus was giving him was far more than what he could achieve, what more he could obtain, what more he could buy, what more he could possess. But in reality, that was the picture. You see, this question that Jesus asked was not put on, and it wasn't anything that he could act, because Jesus is the truth. And that's important for us to see this morning, that when Jesus speaks, it is the truth because he is the truth. So this young man didn't see that. Truth brings reality. And truth brings things in perspective, and truth puts things in check. And that's what Jesus was doing. What would he do with this reality? In reality, and the reason that I believe, and I'll go ahead and say it now, the reason that I believe that he went away sad and that he went away grieved is because he had a realization that he wasn't rich. He wasn't rich like he thought he was. He discovered the reality. He could not obtain by his works, by something that he could do, what he thought he could have. He had things, he had possessions, he had power, but he didn't have Jesus. That's the slave's discovery. The things that didn't, the things that he had, maybe I should put it this way. The things that he had, the things that he worked for, the things that he thought was so important did not bring him hope. It did not bring him peace. And it did not bring him love. His life was all about doing. Riches, and I think I might have mentioned this a long time ago, but I'll mention it again this morning. Riches can buy a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. Riches can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Riches can buy you medicines, but it cannot buy you health. Riches can buy you a house, but it cannot buy you a home. Riches can buy a diamond, but it cannot buy love. Riches can buy this life, but it cannot buy you true living. He discovered, as he walked away, he discovered that he was a prisoner to what he thought was important. He was a prisoner to what he thought was important. He thought he had what was important. He thought he had what was valuable. He thought what he had was so important. But he found out, in reality, he had very little. So Jesus says, number four, let go of everything. Let go of everything. Liquidate your possessions and take up your cross and follow me. Let go of everything that you think is important. Let go of everything that you think you have to do. Let go of everything that motivates you. Let go of everything and take up your cross and follow me. The reason that he wasn't able to answer that question, "Why callest thou me good?" is because Jesus wasn't his God. It was things. It was possessions. It was what he thought brought him happiness. What he thought he was supposed to do. But it did not bring him Jesus. Not anything else. Jesus says, let go of everything. Let go of everything. And his decision was he chose to walk away. He chose to walk away. He couldn't give it up. What he thought he had to have, he couldn't give it up. And that's the reason that I believe, with all those possessions that he was going home to, that's the reason I believe that he left unhappy. And that's the reason that I believe that he left saddened and grieved. Because things, actions, motives, and all those things that make up what we call life was more important than Jesus. I'm not sure where we are this morning, and I'm not sure if we've let things get in our paths, but let me ask you a question. Could you give it all up truthfully, and God knows your heart? I don't know, because I have to ask myself the same question. But could you give it all up for Jesus? The tragedy in slavery. There's a tragedy in slavery. I'm not sure, like I said, where we are this morning as a people, as a person. But if there's something in your life that you feel like that you can't do without, ask yourself the question, are you a slave to it? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the clear picture that you're showing us by this young man. And thank you for showing us that things and possessions and even life doesn't bring us happiness. Father, we understand that this is dealing with salvation, but it's also dealing with life. So, Father, I pray that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, speak to that heart and cause them to realize that they need Jesus. But for others, there may be someone that just wants to come and just talk to you. Maybe something that was said, something that was done, spoke to hearts. Father, you know. So, Father, I pray that you'll have this, that we have this time, that this is our time, our invitation to come and do business with you. And Lord, we thank you and love you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number do you